I like beer.
It makes me a jolly good fellow.
I like beer. It helps me unwind, and sometimes it makes me feel mellow.
Makes him feel mellow.
Welcome to I Like Beer, the podcast, where we discuss great beers and the stories that go with them. I'm your host, Jeff.
And I'm your host, Jeff, and we've got Mateo back in the room again.
Whoop.
What do you call this team?
This is the ride or die team, Joe.
Friends who love good beer and telling stories, so we turned it into a podcast.
And today it's kind of, I think these go hand in hand. So it's National Visit Your Relative Day, which then leads into National Awkward Moment Day. So I don't know, it just seemed to kind of go hand relative. In hand. So, yeah.
And both those equal have a beer day.
Have a beer day, always.
Not that we need a reason.
No.
Teachers by day, beer drinkers by night. Lucky enough to live in North County, San Diego, beer mecca within a beer mecca. Please pour yourself a beer, pull up a bar stool, and join us.
Hey, y'all. I really like beer, and you should buy me a beer. So you go to ilikebeerthepodcast.com and click on Buy Me a Beer. Thanks.
That's Buy Me a Beer. Click the link on the website. When you do, you support our podcast. You help us keep doing this. We want to go to video. That's the goal.
Yeah, I've been working, you know, trying to keep up.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. People are missing out.
They are missing out. These outfits. Well, Mateo today is very handsome. He got dressed up for the podcast.
Yeah, he is very nice.
Today. Always. Just today, even more so than normal.
I like beer, the podcast.com. Buy us a beer. Click on it. That's how we're going to get there. Thank you very much. We appreciate it. And when you're there, you can see our gallery, where we've been, what we've been drinking.
Been swag. To a bunch of places lately.
Yeah. So I like beer, the podcast.com. Talent, there are guests, and then there are guests.
Correct. Today's guest is arguably the hardest working man in beer news, in supporting local and promoting all things kind of San Diego beer. And he's in charge of the one-stop beer news resource for anyone here in San Diego. I go to it weekly for my news or planning if you're visiting San Diego, San Diego Beer News. So welcome back to the show, founder of SD Beer News, Brandon Hernandez.
Hey guys, thanks for having me back. I came on once and you actually had me back. This is wonderful.
You're a few appearances away from the jacket.
Yeah.
We'll just gonna say that. But we always are happy to have you.
Someday be the five timers club. Yeah. That's rad. All right.
But if we do see you everywhere.
Yes.
So we see you everywhere. We see you everywhere when we're at breweries, and we see you on the news, and we see you on podcasts and on Instagram. You are everywhere.
Yeah, I need a beer.
well, you're in luck because we've got something.
Nice.
But before we get to that, we understand you recently got some big news. We're not the only ones who noticed all the great stuff you're doing.
Apparently, I received a nice phone call a couple weekends ago from somebody who's dealing with the Brewers Cup California competition up in Sacramento. They hold it with the in conjunction with the CCBA's California Craft Beer Summit. And they told me I won an award. And I think that's really nice.
Well deserved.
Pioneer Award, Craft Beer Pioneer Award. So I guess I was nominated by multiple people within the industry, and then it was voted on, and I ended up winning. I'm so flattered and humbled by the whole thing. But I get to go to Sacramento and get that. So pretty cool.
Congratulations.
Yeah, congratulations. Well Thanks deserved. A lot.
And now we'll get you that beer.
And we should toast. There.
So the first thing I wanted to do was come hang out with other pioneers there in the craft beer space. So thanks for having me.
That's all right.
And for having a purple beer there.
We do have a purple can. This is the Culver Beer Company right here in Carlsbad. We've been supporting local. That was our New Year's resolution, and we have stayed on board fulfilling that. So met the guys over at Culver Beer for a great sandwich, as always.
Oh,
They sent along a four-pack of Purple Church for us to enjoy on the show.
That's our raspberry sour, correct?
That is correct.
But no sandwiches?
Yeah,
no locally toasted sandwiches?
Yeah, they're phenomenal.
Well, I know, but where are they now?
They're right there at Culver.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to say,
I think he ate them all when he.
Yeah. Sorry about that.
Yeah.
I was wondering if Purple Church was an illusion, metaphor, connection to something. Where is that coming from? And I looked it up, and I don't know if it is or not. We'll have to ask Ben and Mike, but the only thing that popped up for Purple Church immediately was the old main attraction in Oceanside, the strip place.
The Gentleman's Club.
I don't know.
Whatever you want to call it. I don't know if it's a Gentleman's Club, yes. I said I went there once for a bachelor party about 30 years ago, and once was definitely enough.
It's a purple church, a yellow deli, and
congratulations, too.
Congrats.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah.
Thank you, Culver, for the beer.
Mike Stevenson.
Who has promised.
Big man on campus.
Unlike you, not coming back in. He is running the MiraCosta beer program.
Yep.
And he's been, they've redesigned the whole thing. It's so successful. And he's promised we can come in.
Oh, excited.
And during the brewing process and talk to some students and talk. So that's coming. Wow. That will happen, Mike. That will happen. So
you until then, we'll drink his. Ends with all the students who are going to be brewery owners and head brewers down the road, which is wise.
What do you think, Purple Church? Been a little bit?
It's been a while. I really like it. It's, you know, it's funny because raspberry sour, it's kind of a little more subdued in the raspberry, but it's I like that it's not kind of doesn't hammer you over the head with the amount of fruit in it.
And I like that the tartness is dialed back.
And it's way dialed back. Compared to what we had, what was it, last week, we had some of the Jester King, the Atrial Riverside. It's way dialed back in terms of your sour. But yeah, it's good.
It's refreshing. I like it.
Mm-hmm.
Good acidity, not funky. Yeah. Like you say, a little balance so you can actually, could it be a crushable sour? Yeah
it actually could be a crushable sour. That's a good.
I'm going to do my best.
It's very good.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh.
Sorry, I am a grandfather, so I'm like a dad joke doubled.
So while we have this beer in hand, it's time for toast, roast, and pour one out. I've got a little spin on this today since we have access to one of the greatest beer minds of our generation, Brandon. We've been toasting, roasting, pouring out, it seems like for a year now. All the new breweries and tap rooms coming in, but also pouring them out for friends that aren't here anymore, either not here in North County or just not doing this anymore. Just been so much of that. So what's going on in the San Diego beer scene? Eyes on target. You're in and out of these places. What's going on?
Well, I'm definitely seeing a lot of fluctuation, but I'm glad to say that in the last couple of weeks, the last month or so, you're finally seeing some positive things. I mean, when people are going out, sometimes people are coming in their place and doing some really cool things. I mean, Bagby is a perfect example of that, with Green Cheek coming in. You know, Tarantula Hill is going to be taking over for Ruler over at the Draft Republic in San Marcos. That's a fantastic brewing facility, and it allows people to increase their production capacity without, you know, while also brewing beers for Draft Republic and for the Cone Restaurant Group. So that's really cool. But there's something both of those stories have in common, and that's that you're seeing people coming from out of town.
Right. Now they're trying to get into the scene. Yeah.
Yeah. There was a time when people wouldn't even try because they said, okay, well, we'll distribute our beer down there. But I mean, it's San Diego, you know, it's close knit.
It's a bold move. I'm going to say that.
Yeah. I don't,
I'm rooting for them, but it's a bold move.
Yeah. I don't know how successful I'm going to be. And I think that we're finding that as we kind of reshape our county here, I think craft beer fans are at a place where is it good beer? Okay. I can support that. I mean, like people are thrilled about Green Cheek, right? Artifacts came in last year. And people were excited about that. Tarantula Hill, I think there's a good amount of excitement about that too. I mean, and it's from people from San Diego. I mean, their head brewer and their director of brewery operations are both from San Diego.
It makes a difference.
Well, one's from San Diego. One lived here for 10 years working at Stone. So, I mean, that's almost like you're brought in. You're it's almost it blood. Counts. Like you've had a blood transfusion, but you're not blood. So I think there's a lot to be excited about there, and that maybe we were a little closed-minded before. So I find it to be a very interesting next chapter, and one that we didn't see coming, whereas other things are a little more predictable. You know what I mean? Like restaurant groups were getting into beer, and that was exciting, and now we have things like this. So more good news, and I like that. I like seeing excitement over new tasting rooms, new satellites, things like that. And then there are new breweries coming online as well. And we're talking about like the Roadies and Sunny Grove, and it's very exciting. I mean, as a beer writer, I'm excited. That's a good sign. Yes.
So let's say you go into a lot of breweries and tap rooms, meeting people, tasting beer. What's something that makes you happy when you walk into a place? When you walk into a place, especially you talk about some of these places, new ones open, you go, hey, this is going to be a pretty cool spot.
Variety. For me, I'm getting a little, I'm getting a little tired of a bunch of different West Coast, bunch of hazies and a bunch of lagers. Nothing wrong with these styles. I mean, I'll drink a West Coast anytime. I love lagers of all kinds, but it's as if somebody gave the cheat code to the brewers and they decided, okay, I'm just going to, you know, up, down, down, left, right, BABA start. And that's all I'm going to do. And it's fine because when you make great beers, that's cool. But for someone like me who I've been drinking craft beer since 1998. And so as things became popular back then, it was like English styles and, you know, like the original American IPAs, and then other things came on like Belgian ales and then barrel aged beers and sour ales and, the modern West Coast IPA, different iterations of that, the hazy IPA, all of these things came out, and it was just great to try all these things. And
it's exciting. It's exciting to look on the board and go, what's there? That?
Yeah, yeah. So I love variety. And as I go to other parts of the country, I see tons of variety. But then I come back home and I'm just like, oh, man, every bar I go to is like, here's our six West Coast. Here's our six hazies.
And the bar and restaurants, and I guess, you know, they know what's selling. They're keeping track of that. But I certainly see it more there. But when you go into one of the bigger breweries, I'm not going to throw Carl Strauss under the bus, but you go into a Carl Strauss, you really hope to see them, because when they're creative with stuff, it's fantastic. But more than once, you go in there and you don't.
Small batch stuff.
And if the small batch stuff is out, then you're kind of stuck with, a lager and,
And I get
four or five IPAs, and that's a bummer.
We are in an interesting time that we've never seen before where it comes to challenges for breweries and trying to sell enough beer and all that. So I get it. I totally get it. But that's why I get excited when I see a bunch. If I see Belgians, I'm like, oh, boy. If I see an ESB, I guarantee you I'm getting it. A Grodzinski, a nearly extinct style, I'm going to order that. So that's what gets me excited, because I know that they had to take a little bit of a chance, a leap of faith, putting that out there in the first place. And so I'm as excited as they are when I order it. They're like, oh, boy, somebody ordered that? Great.
What about you, Tal? What makes you happy when you walk in? What gets you your beer senses tingling?
I agree. If I see unique stuff on there, I walk in and I see a Schwartz beer or something like that, that I feel like you just don't. ESBs are big ones. If you see one you don't normally see, I think that's a big one. Sometimes it's just the vibe. It feels friendly. You know, like I really like the new Mother Earth location. You walk in there, it just feels kind of, even though it's in the warehouse type of setup, it's kind of neat with the, you know, and if it's kind of got some of that, if you know stuff, I think that's a really neat one. But I also really like I'm just thinking about some of the new ones we've been into here recently, like the new version here in Vista, just open. It feels like you're almost in an outdoor open air venue, but you're not, you know, so that's kind of open and inviting. And then ultimately, I think the once you start talking, you know, we had a really great experience down in Chula Vista. You start talking to the beer tenders, and if they're friendly and knowledgeable and everything else, to me, it's like, hey, I want to support these people and come back.
I want that beer tender to be able to talk to me a little bit about. I know they've got a job to do, but indulge me for a moment with what's the difference between your six IPAs or what's something I got to try before I leave. I like that when they can have a little bit, when they've trained up the staff to be knowledgeable.
Right? But I also think that's one of the things, and we've talked about that, that's unique about breweries, especially, you know, our local breweries and, you know, whatever craft breweries, as opposed to say, we kind of having the joke with wineries, but how many times we walk in and it's the owner, right? It's the owner or the co-owner. And you can just kind of see that passion that they have for it and the time and the investment that they've put into this, you know, and half the time they're also the head brewer and that kind of stuff. And so you just kind of, I know I pull for the small people, the small guy to be successful. So I enjoy that when you walk in there and you get a little taste of their story and what they've gone through.
I'm going to count this all as the toast. This is all a toast. Toasting what they're doing well.
Toasting everything.
And so on that same theme, Brandon, some of the things going on, big and small breweries, for the ones that are sustaining and beyond that progressing, what is there a common link or is there something you see they're getting right when you go in and you're talking to them and you're observing? What are they getting right? Because some of them are getting right.
I think for a lot of them, it's a managing of their expectations and goals as a business owner. And just having a little bit of focus on the business aspect of a brewery, whereas you didn't see that so much before because it wasn't necessarily as important, right? Before the pandemic, I mean, if you go several years before the pandemic, it was kind of like a bit of a free-for-all in a good way where it's like, oh, I open a brewery, I kind of do whatever I want to do with it. And there's enough, it's easy enough to attract enough people to get what I'm trying to accomplished. And I can have fun with it and I can do all the things I wanted to do. And now people have to think about it from the lens of the consumer or the patron, instead of just themselves. You know, it's always like, I'm brew what I want to brew for myself. And that makes sense. And who wouldn't? I mean, that's probably a motivation of a lot of people in any kind of thing that they do for themselves as a small business owner. I know for me it is, but likewise, I have to think about my readers and what they want to see, right? So the brewers are doing a really good job of thinking about what their fans and the fans they would like to attract want to support and will come back for. So I think that's
What a good point.
Yeah. The big common thread there, and then doing it on an the economy and the cost of everything so big they're also doing a very good job of like, you know, sharpening that pencil and figuring things out and making it work for them, because it's not easy when you're using the finest ingredients. You want floor malted, you know, malt from here and there, and you're using like, I don't know, like heirloom corn for your Mexican lager. I mean, that's a losing equation anyway, if you're going to make one, because you can't compete with the big guys. So you want to bring people to your spot where you can actually afford to sell it over the counter and make enough money at it that it works. But people are finding a way, and they're becoming happier about it. I think that the accomplishments that they get in these challenging times mean so much more, and that some people are actually finding the joy in overcoming the challenges and being creative. And, you know, it kind of feels like you're getting one over.
Good point. I almost hate to do this with Brandon, but I'm doing it anyways, because it is called Toast, Roast, and Pour. Sure. So pet peeve, something you see, you walk in a venue or you're have an experience there, something that makes you maybe mentally roll your eyes or sigh sadly. Like, oh, come on.
Hasn't changed since the first day I started writing about beer or having beer, and that's attitude. I've never understood why somebody makes good beer, all of a sudden they think they can just come up with this really bad attitude and treat people like they're not worthy of it, or you walk in there and, you know, there's just this air about the staff. It's bad enough if the guy who brewed, or woman, actually, who brewed the beer has a big ego because they've won a bunch of medals for it, right? And people love their beer. But for the beer tender who's serving it to me to somehow adopt that has always been a huge pet peeve. And there's been certain places that I just wouldn't go. Like, everybody would flock to this certain brewery in this part of town, and I just wouldn't go, because every time I went there, it was always just like some jackass behind the bar acting as though, and it wasn't Stone, I'm going to say as though
I didn't think it was.
I only want to say it because I say as though I wasn't worthy, or like I was lucky to be having this elixir of the gods. And I'm like, you know, you're ruining it. Yeah, I feel lucky to be having this beer because it's in my own hometown and I love supporting local, but you're ruining it for me right now. I mean, you're just like, if I ask you a question about it, you're like, what an idiot. Anyways, that kind of thing drives me nuts. Whereas, like you guys were just talking about, one of the best parts is that you can maybe meet the owner or somebody on the staff who's like jazzed about telling you about the beer and steers you to the right thing for you. I mean, that is to me, a quintessential part of the craft beer experience. And when you get the exact opposite, no wonder people would be turned off, right? So I roll my eyes now, because we are so many years past, I don't know, an era where that's even acceptable or going to help anything. I hate to see people shooting themselves in the foot.
I don't think you're going to stay open anymore if you do that. We were talking about what is a beer trends. We said that was one of the biggest ones, is that focus on customer service, right? And why would you go back if you don't get it, you know, and you don't feel that way?
Totally.
You got one.
Well, I mean, that's a tough one. I think you piggyback on that one, because I think that's probably it for most people in most places they go. I'll just say the only one. That's all right. The only roast lately is too. I think it's kind of sad. You talked about, you know, you had these restaurant groups and stuff getting into breweries and stuff, and you could see with certain ones and things that have happened here recently too, is where just bottom line is going to rule the day with some of those. Yeah. And so that would be a bit of a pet peeve, because I think we've lost some good places because of that. And, you know, but at the end of the day, it kind of is what it is.
For me, it's ever since I read John Hull's book,
yeah.
Glassware.
Oh, Glassware, yeah.
If you're going to serve me a Pilsner in a shaker pint glass, I'm annoyed. And there's certain breweries, and I understand they're stackable, they're durable, people steal them, it doesn't cost you much. But there's certain beers, I'll order the 10-ounce pour because I want it in a tulip or a thin glass. But yeah, serving everything in the shaker pint glass, that's... Oof. And there's some really good, really, really good, really big breweries in San Diego that do that by, you know, that Jeff Bagby, best glass guy ever.
Yeah.
Epic was super serious about the glassware. Yeah. I totally appreciated.
Well, or how about a bring your own glass policy? There you go. Like, you show up with your tulip and you say, damn it, this is what I want to drink this out of. It costs you nothing. I'm going to steal it.
Because I have a couple of really good tulips. Well, the one funny you brought me from Jester King. That is the best beer tulip drinking glass ever.
Way ahead of the game was Devil's Canyon up in San Carlos up there, because they basically, you have to buy your glass there and then you bring it back or you buy another glass the next time you're there. They've solved the stealing and you just bring in your glass, whatever glass you want. But that, I mean, I haven't been to that brewery in about 3-4 years. So they were doing this, you know, 6-7 years ago. So way ahead of the curve.
Somehow I see this happening with you. It's like you show up with a red solo cup. Actually, blue, because I can't stand those red solo cups. True, here's a blue solo cup.
Mine's going to be purple.
There you go.
I want to make a statement. I want people to know I'm Flash. Well, we're dedicating the rest of the show to the beer awards, San Diego Beer Awards. So I say we skip Pour One Out.
True.
But we did Pour One Out a few years ago for our own beer awards. That were started before the San Diego Beer Awards, before San Diego Beer News was a thing, the ILB Beersies. And it really, Brandon, what a great thing you've done. Yeah. Because when we walked into about a dozen places with just a printed piece of paper that we framed with like a $3 frame and said, you have won an ILB Beersie for best Mexican lager. It's kind of like our profession teaching. You can go a long way without someone patting you on the back and saying, good job. People were so excited to get this piece of paper that we've done made just quick copies of and framed. And you've taken that so many more levels.
Oh my God, it's impressive.
Yeah. So let's wrap this up so we can get into the beer awards.
Well, I guess we're all awesome. That's my takeaway.
Yeah. What we realized is, we're doing nothing. He's got this. Let's also, hand off.
It speaks to the fact that, yes, people like being appreciated. And it's great to take some time out to do that in any way, shape, or form. Means a lot to me. Like if somebody emails me and says, hey, I really appreciate your site, that means the world to me. It makes my entire day, if not week. So like, that's what it's all about, right?
This has been Toast, Roast, and Pour One Out. And now we got to hear about the beer awards.
That was me, real quick. That was me trying to get people to email me that I'm awesome.
Yeah.
Hey, I really like your website.
Mateo's texting right now. Yeah. He's holding up a napkin saying, you're doing great.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about this year's San Diego Beer News Awards.
Well, it's going to be the biggest and I hope the best so far. And by that, I don't mean necessarily like attendance, although I do think we'll have a lot of people there. But it'll be kind of the things that we're used to seeing, an award show style deal with brewers, brewery owners, staffers, and all sorts of people getting up there, media, to hand out awards. Very cool. But this year we have some new categories. We have a vendor expo for the industry folks who show up to go around and meet some of the vendors before the show starts, and social hour for everybody else, which is very cool. We're going to have a hop growers panel before that's put on by Yakima Chief, who's our banner sponsor. So that's really fun. They've flown in people from Washington State from five different farms to do this. And Chris Guzman from San Diego Beer News, as well as Pure Project, educator. As well as San Diego Mesa College. I mean, geez, this guy, you thought I was busy, right? But he's going to be the moderator of the panel. So it should be a lot of fun. Be at Stone. So for the first time ever, we're brewing a beer, and that's going to have a lot of those fun HBC hops, next generation hops that goes with our theme of celebrating the next generation. That's kind of what I wanted to make this about this year, because we know a lot of, the Paul Seguras, the Jeff Bagbys, the Tommy Arthurs, people like that, the Peter Zions. But if it's been decades now, right? And there's new people who are coming up through the ranks, and I think that we need to meet some of them
as
well.
They're hungry.
Yeah. And more that they're thirsty.
They are good. They've trained with the masters.
Absolutely. And so I don't want to pass a torch, but I definitely want to shine a spotlight on some of these folks. And that goes also for people who are up in the new breweries that are coming out. I've just debuted in the last few years. The people who are educating the next generation. So that's really fun. Getting back to the beer, though, it's going to be awesome. We did the all the fun hop rubbing for the hop blend with all these HBCs, and I am stoked. It's Chris Ketchum and I. Chris Ketchum's the Liberty Station Brewing Manager for Stone. We're looking for a nice San Diego style IPA, about 6-7%. And we have 18 other breweries coming in to collab with us. And it's going to be totally fun. Like we're talking stone fruit, citrus, tropical, dank, like a little bit of everything, but it's all coalescing, like all these HBCs coalescing. So very cool there. And there's other new things too, but honestly, it's going to be a great time. And if none of this meant anything to you, if you like to drink beer and be around a lot of awesome people who love to have fun, that's what it's going to be. You'd spend hours with people throughout the industry, craft beer fans, and just have a blast with people who get it, like you.
Where
I
and
love
when?
San Diego beer.
Where and when?
It's going to be Tuesday, March 26th, and the social hour part starts at 5, goes to 7. The ceremony itself, 7 to 9. I don't think they'll kick you out after 9, so you can hang out. But lots more parking this year.
I kicked myself out about 9:15.
Yeah. I hear you. I get that. I like that you're responsible. Should be a lot of fun, though. We have a lot of great people lined up to come up there. And you know, it's fan voted, so we all get to see what everybody thought. But it's very nice to see a lot of breweries getting their due.
So you're talking about this next generation. I love that theme. I'm a theme kind of guy. Okay. I'm not going to ask you the best, because I don't think that's something you can really qualify anyway. But of this next generation of brewery, of these young men and women brewing, and there's a whole bunch of them. We've interviewed a bunch just up here in North County, but.
Sure.
And up in Central Coast, even where this guy's already owned his own place and run his place. So do you remember one of those first ones that just floored you? Like, how are they doing this at this age or this early in the career process of brewing? What was one that really wowed you right from the beginning where you went, okay, this is going to work?
There we go. There it is.
Yeah, we have our fantasy draft next week. I'm just trying to get the. So.
I'd say one guy that really impressed me was Hayden over at Dos Desperados, because he didn't come up in a bunch of different breweries and then get the head brewer spot. He just showed the owner there something promising with his work ethic and his just personality approach and pragmatism, and was given kind of a crash course by the person who had been helping them with their head brewing over there. And he's just done phenomenal things. I mean, the beers have been better for years because he's been there for years, and he just keeps on advancing and winning awards, making great beers that I very much enjoy, and interesting beers. You go over there, it's not a boring tap list at all.
Nope.
You can get just a wealth of different styles.
If you're lucky,
and
the Scottish ales on tap.
I like the quad. I'm all about that Helldorado, But it's a great place to be, and he's just such a humble human being. I really like him a lot. I mean, Winslow at Pure Project, to have accomplished all he's done. Now it's been many years, right? But when I was first meeting him, I thought, man, this kid's got some spirit, but I didn't know anything about his beer, right? And we've seen what he's been able to do, and he was able to do it right out the gate. Right. It's just crazy. I mean, just we're talking, mixed fermentation, barrel-aged things, and then the straightforward beers that everybody likes so much. And they've captured hearts and minds with that brewery. It's very cool. I mean, even for me, like an Anthony Tallman over at Bergen, he had experience coming in, but as soon as he got the reins, it was like, man, look out for this kid.
Yeah.
This guy is just like nonstop and so smart and so detail-oriented and, leading a great team over there. But I could go on and on. There's just so many people, but it's always nice to see when somebody finds their calling and then just runs with that ball.
And, that's why we want to see some risk taking when we see the tap list, right? That speaks to it because we know they have the skills.
Sure.
Could bring it back around to that. When we're traveling, one of the things that we've just grown accustomed to asking, it's almost a stock question for us, and it's about, tell us about the brewing community. When we're here in San Diego, but when we're out traveling abroad, it's sometimes a little awkward of a question because we're expecting to hear about the camaraderie, the support system, and it's not the same everywhere else. And there's something special about San Diego and the San Diego beer scene.
Yeah.
And this community extends well beyond just breweries and beer collaborations, doesn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, you've got all sorts of folks from, like we were talking about, universities, right? They're into it. You have a bunch of, everyone's got their suppliers, right? But then you have these appurtenant businesses and you have hospitality businesses that are into craft beer too and helping to, raise that flag and wave it around and show everybody what it's all about here and then get more people into the fold, be they locals or people who are from out of town. I mean,
local news covering not only you, but something going on in the beer community.
No, like God bless Netta Aronpour over at CBS8. I mean, she has a true passion for the craft beer. Like, man, she likes drinking local craft beer more than me even. And that's saying a lot. I'm just going to tell you right now. But I just love that she found craft beer. I was kind of there when she did. I was there at the start of her journey and what she's taken it to and just having people on all the time. It's very simple. And I love that. She's always looking to have any craft beer story she can. And, you know, most people don't.
There's these two high school teachers that actually yes. have a craft beer yeah. podcast that would be perfect
well,
for.
Well, you know what? She'll be at the San Diego Beer News Awards on Tuesday, okay, March 26th, and you will be too.
Wow.
So that's
there's a lot of
cool.
Jeffs there. We might get mixed up in the crowd. Yeah. I was just thinking about how many Jeffs are going to be there.
It's a Jeff heavy.
Yes.
Well, I mean, can we talk about the fact that you have a role within the awards as well?
Yeah, we're really excited
yeah,
about
we
this.
Very excited.
We've made our appointment with our stylist.
Yes, 100%.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's why I was worried the 5 o'clock thing. I'm like, I don't know if I'm out of hair and makeup by 5 o'clock. But now I might have to move our schedule our thing a little bit.
Did you find a powder blue tux?
Yeah.
or was it like the creamsicle orange one? Yeah. It was hard to locate
in our closet. We share a closet for these things.
Yeah,
apparently.
Yeah. It's a every prom chaperone outfit that you've got,
there
right?
You got it.
I love it. But no, it's going to be great to have you guys there too, because I mean, you guys have come along and just represented also another generation of people who are talking about craft beer in the podcast format and soon hopefully the video format. So that's very cool.
That is so exciting.
All right. So one more time, how do people find you and find out about the SD Beer Awards?
Find me online, sandiegobeer.news, on Instagram and Twitter and Threads, SD Beer News. You can go to that Facebook thing if you want to, if you're of my generation. That'd be great. But the awards are at Stone Brewing World Bistro and Gardens Liberty Station in Point Loma against Tuesday, March 26th. Come early at 5 o'clock, hang out. 7 o'clock is the actual awards ceremony. It's going to be so much fun. And that's what it's really all about.
Brandon Hernandez, San Diego Beer News, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for the beer and for joining me.
Thank you for everything you're doing to keep the San Diego beer community strong, supported, and prospering, because we don't want to lose any more friends. Well, we don't lose friends. They're not dead. They just move on to other things, and they're probably still making beer. I made that a little darker than it needed to be.
Sorry.
But we also have lost friends.
It felt that way.
When I walk out that door, you won't lose me. I'm still around.
Yeah.
I'll have to remind them of that next week. They're going to be like, I can't believe he's gone. He's like, he's still there. They're like, don't worry about it. Yeah.
Thank you, Sharp Dress Man.
Listeners, thank you for spending the time with us. Remember, just a moment to rate us, review us wherever you get our podcast. Check us out on Instagram. Visit our website, ilikebeerthepodcast.com, and we'll see you at the San Diego Beer News Awards.
Yep.
We'd love to keep drinking, but right now, we got to run.
Cheers.
BEERRUN, beer run. BEERRUN, beer run. All we need is a 10 and a 5, or a car and a key and a sober driver. BEERRUN, beer run.